Life is a battleground. It is. We've been born into a battle. We're blessed to live in a Western culture where there's good medical care, there's a strong military presence and law enforcement presence, so many of the forces that would like to come against us are kept at bay for the most part. So that's not true for the entire world, is it? We're the lucky ones in that respect. But even for us in Western society, we know that life is a battle. I would love to tell you that each of us and our children after us will all live a pain-free and healthy life without conflict. We'll all get married. We'll all have 2.5 children and have a career that is satisfying to us and a good retirement plan. And we'll live out our years and then pass away peacefully in our sleep at age 88, something like that. I would love to tell you that's going to happen for all of us. But the reality is that the vast majority of us will struggle. There will be times of pain and sickness. There will be times where people come against us, where there will be pain from a lost relationship. There will be times of depression when it looks like our life isn't panning out the way we wanted it to, or maybe the way other people have it. Life is a battleground. I don't know about you, but this started to sink in for me around junior high. Elementary school, that was a pretty good experience. Kids were nice for the most part. My parents were good to me. The world made sense. And then junior high comes along. All of a sudden, I found that kids could be really mean. All of a sudden, you had to be cool or you might not be included. I experienced rejection from a girl or two who I wanted to be my girlfriend. I think I told you some of those stories. Ouch! Somebody spit in my face randomly as I was walking down the hallway in our junior high school one day. So the temptations also that face humanity start to come into play about those years in my life and in the lives of my friends. So life became more complicated, and I started to understand that life is a struggle. And of course, life can throw at us things that are much, much worse than anything we experience in junior high school. We know that. Life is a battle. The Bible is a book about this battle that we have been born into. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and you can get as far as the end of chapter 2 before you start seeing the battle. Genesis 1 and 2, God creates the world. Let there be light. Let the water teem with living creatures. God made the wild animals. God created man in his image, and male and female, he created them. He gave human beings food. Just plants, by the way, at that point. There was no killing involved yet. He put the man and the woman in a luscious garden, and then he looked around at everything he had created and pronounced it very good. Two chapters with no battle. But I tell you, those are two very important chapters. They lead us to understand that God's original intention for his creation and for us was no pain, no death, no evil. The plan only lasted two chapters. Genesis 3 begins with these words, "Now the serpent." Enter Satan, enter the battle. The Bible describes a war between good and evil in the spiritual realm, describes a war between good and evil in the human realm. There's a battle going on over human lives, and more importantly, over human souls. And God has a message to get out in the midst of this war. He says to us that there is a way back to that Garden of Eden situation, the no-battle situation, the original intention for you human beings, but you need to bring your hearts back to me and submit to me, for I am the giver of life and your provider, and you cannot live without me. Satan does everything that he can do to twist that message and to deceive human beings so that we will seek our own way apart from our Creator, and that can only lead in eternal death. And along the way, of course, Satan doesn't mind creating some carnage and suffering and sorrow. Oh, he'll throw some temptations at you and promise pleasure, but his paths lead to death and destruction. There's a battle going on, and it is extremely serious. Now, there's another element to this battle that's worth noting that the Bible describes to us. The earliest human beings fell to the temptation of Satan, as you know. They disobeyed God, decided to go their own way, and God did some things in response to that changed reality for humans. He did not wipe out the serpent or the man or the woman. He allowed them to continue. But this great world that he had created, he altered it to reflect the new state of a humanity who had declared their independence from him. There was going to be pain in the created order now and toil. Genesis 3:17, God said to them, "Cursed is the ground because of you." There would now be conflict in human relationships. Death entered the world. Access to eternal life in the garden was denied, which meant that Adam and Eve were going to die. God limited the number of years he would allow a human being to live. Note that it is after sin entered the picture that God gives animals to be eaten. It's in Genesis 9. Killing, death. The whole world moved away from what I assume was an eternal state and into a temporary state. Everything became subject to decay. The Apostle Paul tells us of this change in Romans 8:20. We'll have it on the board for you. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So, for whatever reason, God chose to have the whole created order reflect the condition of its main inhabitants, human beings. And we see also in that passage from Paul the hope that one day human beings who have turned their hearts back to their Creator will be liberated from frustration and decay, and along with them the whole created order will as well. In the next verse there, Paul says, "The whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." So the contagion sin entered the hearts of mankind, and then God placed a contagion within his own wonderful creation so that it would be subject to decay. We groan in this world, and creation groans along with us. I think this lines up pretty well with what we observe in life. We see the design and the function in things. Our bodies, for instance, it's very clear how things were made to work in our bodies by the Maker. But then we see that they don't always work the way that they are supposed to. There's a contagion in God's good world. We need to wrestle with this and face it, I believe. The Bible says that God is a good God, and the original created order was good, and the struggle in this life is due to the fact that sin arrived on the scene. But we need also to come to grips with the fact that death and the contagion and the decay that affects what once was a wonderful created order was allowed by God. You guys, this world that we live in is not the eternal place. We are not supposed to live here forever. God ordained for each of us to die. Even Jesus himself lived 33 years, and he suffered a lot. And I think if we were a contemporary with him, we would say, what a tragedy. He was cut off as a young man. His life was cut short. And those things are true about him, but they also point to the reality which he believed, that it is not just about this life. It's about the one that comes after it for those who turn to God and to his grace. This is not the forever place That comes next. This is not the no more tears place. That comes next. Sin is terribly serious, and God wanted us to know it. There is a contagion in the spiritual order of things and in the physical order of things. So that means we have all kinds of things to battle against in life. There are spiritual forces who would love to come against us. There are human beings who would love to come against us. And you think of the ISIS videos recently. There is contagion in the physical order that will infect our bodies. There is difficulty in human relationships. Sometimes we fight a war even in our own minds between the truth of who God created us to be and the lies about ourselves that get planted in our heads. Life is a battle. Are you facing a battle in your life right now? Have you faced one? You will face more in the future. Life is a war zone. I have some words for you today if you're facing a battle in your life. The first is this. The Bible is for you. The Bible is for you. The Bible is not a pie-in-the-sky book. It doesn't teach us that life is fluffy. No, it teaches us that we're going to have pain and we're going to struggle. The heroes of faith in this book are a pretty motley crew. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Most of the heroes in the New Testament were executed, some in terribly painful ways. The heroes of the Bible struggled with sin and with health and with conflict and with war. We can identify with these people. The Bible is a very real book, and it is for you. The Bible says you will struggle, but it also says that if you turn your life and your heart over to God, He will come to your rescue, either in this life or in the next, or both. He will come to your rescue. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So there is hope. More on that in a bit. So the Bible is for you, person involved in a battle. Man, do you know how much battle imagery we're given in the Bible? Take a look at one of them, Ephesians 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Do you think the Bible describes a battle in life? Yeah, the Bible is for you. Now, Paul is addressing there specifically a battle against evil spiritual forces. Maybe that's what you feel that your current struggle is with. Well, Scripture has a few things to say to you if that's the case for you. 1 John 4:4. "You are from God, believers, and have overcome the evil spirits, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." James 4, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Luke 10, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." And Psalm 27, 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Are you in a battle against Satan? And we all are. By the way, the Bible is for you. Now, perhaps the battle that you're fighting these days, you've not really pictured it as one against spiritual forces. Maybe spiritual forces are playing a role there, but in your mind, you've pictured it more as a battle against a human being or multiple human beings or perhaps a health issue that you're battling. Here are some words for you from the Bible. Deuteronomy 20, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you." Deuteronomy 31, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble, for the Lord will not fail you or forsake you." Psalm 55, "Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you." Psalm 27, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart and wait for the Lord." And some favorites, Philippians 4, 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Are you facing a battle in your life? The Bible is for you. Second thing I want to say to you today, if you're facing a battle in your life, remember that there is a God. Remember that there is a God. Now, I know that's a silly thing to say in light of all we've been saying already, but I know how this goes. When the brokenness and the pain in this world hit us in new ways, especially when these kinds of things show up in our own lives or in the lives of the ones who are very close to us, and it smacks us across the face, the natural thing to do is to start questioning God. Why would a loving, all-powerful God allow this? Hey, it's a totally fair question. I don't blame you for asking. And I don't necessarily know the answers other than the things we've already said. What about when that contagion in the physical realm hits children? Maybe a child gets cancer. Tell you what, that's the toughest one for me. Why would God allow that? That's a hard one. It's a fair question. I don't know for sure. Let's be real about this. So I understand this is how it goes. When you get smacked in the face with this stuff, you start questioning God. And so my assertion to you today is remember that there is a God when you're in that situation. When my daughter Maya was born, when she was being born, things weren't working quite correctly. Her head wasn't facing in the right way, and so in the end, all of Anna's efforts were simply driving Maya's head down into, I think, a bone, I guess, and we saw the bruises on her head when she did join us later. So after a number of hours, we had a C-section, and Maya joined us in the world. Now, women used to die somewhat routinely while giving birth to children. It's a very rare occurrence in most of the world now today, thanks to medical advances and things like C-sections. But it used to be somewhat common. So theoretically, under different circumstances, if Anna and I had lived in another time or another country, or we had been unable to get to proper medical care, I would imagine that it's possible that either Maya or Anna might have died in that scenario. Now, I'm not saying this to freak anybody out. All of our recent pregnancies, they've all had their babies now, right? So I just say, let's observe this fact of life. And think about this. The whole process of a baby growing and forming inside of its mother is absolutely incredible. And the female body clearly has a miraculous and a logical way of giving birth to a child. But when left to our body's own devices, a certain percentage of births end in the death of the mother or the child. So we, in the form of doctors, have to come and help the body along. And don't we see in this scenario exactly what the Bible is telling us? There is this incredible and miraculous design of God in the world, a human being forming in the womb. Really? Complete with ears and eyes and toes and brain? I mean, really? But that incredible design has been infected with a contagion and with brokenness and with death. And it doesn't always work right. So I think the story of Maya's birth is a good example of what the Bible tells us. what could have happened if Anna and I had not been able to get to proper medical care. There was a great process going on in her body, but the process wasn't working right. And of course, if Anna or Maya had died, I would have been crushed, and I would have questioned God, undoubtedly. But when we face terrible realities like that, we have to ask ourselves a question. What is harder to explain? A baby getting turned around in the womb and not moving out of her mother's body in the way that she was designed to, thus leading to the death of either mother or baby? It's hard to explain how a good God could allow that. True. But is it not harder to explain this without the existence of a God?
Okay. It's Friday night. We just had homemade pizza. We're eating cherries. How you doing, Maya? Baby?
Big girl.
Baby.
Big girl.
Baby.
Big girl.
Baby.
Big girl, big girl, big girl. Big girl.
Are you a baby?
I love this new laugh.
Big girl.
Big girl.
Baby.
Big girl.
Baby.
Big girl.
Baby.
No.
Baby.
No.
Baby.
Big girl.
Baby. Big girl.
Where'd you go? Where'd Maya go? Juice. Can you sip it? Good. Where's your hair?
No.
Where's your hair?
No.
Nothing good. Wait a second. That's your ear. Where's your hair?
No.
Hair? Where's Maya's hair? Yes. Where are your teeth? Oh, those are good teeth in there.
Nice job.
All right, what if, since we're showing home videos, why don't you show the other one, a little short one. Sorry, this is hard to see.
Okay, you go up high. Then bounce. Good.
Dance party! Woo! Woo! Nice moves, Maya.
Yeah. Can you shake your arms.
Okay, so Maya obviously was born. And look at her. When we battle the contagion back and we allow God's design to proceed as it was supposed to, it's downright incredible, isn't it? Can you explain the existence of human beings, our vibrancy, our intelligence, our personality, our humor, our music, our spirit, our beauty? Can you explain us without a creator? You see, you have to choose. If you decide that there is no God because you see the pain and suffering in the world, then you also have to believe that the miraculous existence of all of us comes from rocks bumping together in the universe and somehow creating life. I cannot believe that. I can't believe it. The suffering in this world is hard to explain, yeah, but it's not as hard to explain as the beauty, the design, the personality, the music, and the spirit that we all experience in this world coming from a godless, impersonal, unintelligent universe of rock and matter. I could never believe that. That's much harder for me to accept than the biblical explanation of things. So when we are having these moments of facing pain and suffering in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones, we need to remember what's harder to explain. There is a God, ladies and gentlemen. We see his handiwork all around us. In addition to that, there are fantastic and intelligent reasons for believing that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is. And in addition to those reasons, many of us have experienced him working in our lives, or at least have experienced the life-changing power that is found within his word. There is a God. Sometimes when the battle wages and we start to feel the sting of the arrows, we might be tempted to question if he is there. So my second point to you today is, if you are facing a battle, remember that there is a God. My final encouragement to those who are facing battles right now or may/will someday is this. There is a God, yes. Understand who that God is. Understand who that God is. This God who exists cannot be shaken. In a world full of temporary beings and objects, God stands out as the one unchanging, eternal, and immovable force. Moses asked God one day what his name was, and God responded by telling Moses that his name is I Am. Not I was, not I will be, not I'll be around for a while. No, I Am. Book of Revelation declares to us that this God is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is, he cannot be shaken. Amen. Similarly, the God who exists is all-powerful and is bigger than any battle you are facing. Jeremiah 32, Ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Jeremiah 23, Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. He is big. He is powerful. Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, we know that God does not always work in the way I am about to describe to you. Sometimes his wisdom leads in different directions. But listen also to this story from Mark chapter 5. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, Don't be afraid. Just believe. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to him, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and at this they were completely astonished. This God is bigger than any battle you are facing. Jesus' words there, don't be afraid, just believe. He is able. This God who exists knows you. Jesus in Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. This God knows you. This God who exists loves you. Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No battle will be able to separate you from the love God has for you. This God who exists is worthy of your trust. In Isaiah 55, God proclaims, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't have the eternal godly perspective. God does. Trust him. Trust in him. Trust in his power. Trust in his love. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And finally, you need to know that this God who exists wins in the end. The first two chapters of the Bible describe creation before the battle. Listen now to the words found in the last two chapters of the Bible that describe how the story ends for those who reconnect with their Maker. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." There's a battle going on. We've been born into a battleground, and in the end, this God who exists wins the battle. Amen. You know, there are so many wonderful things for us to experience in the world, so much of God's original amazing creation for us to see and to taste and to enjoy, and we need to live in that and celebrate it while we have life. But this is not the forever place. This is not the no more tears place. You will struggle here. You were not meant to live forever here. So, when you face your battle, remember that the Bible is for you. It contains the words of so many people who have battled it out ahead of you. It's the place for you to turn for truth, for hope, for wisdom on how to face the battle. Remember that there is a God. Don't let the war wounds make you forget what is hardest to explain: the existence of life, the beauty, the design that we see all around us, the handiwork of a good and a great God. And understand who the God who exists is. He is unshakable. He is all-powerful. He knows you. He loves you. He's worthy of your trust, and he will win the battle. For the person facing a battle today, I say, remember those things. Have courage. Trust in the Lord. Remember Jesus' words. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And realize that when Jesus is your master, the best for you is always yet to come. Amen.